It has already been an outstanding morning in the Lord's house. Did you know preachers struggle? Sometimes we struggle, and this week I have struggled. I've struggled with this message. The Lord gave it to me some time ago. But have you ever read God's Word and thought, boy, I just don't get it. For the longest, I've been dealing with that. Lord, I'm missing something. What am I missing? And so the worship service this morning, I didn't give Dale anything. We usually collaborate just a little bit. And he said, what you preaching this Sunday? I said, I don't have a clue. That's what happens when you struggle. And as we worshiped, I began to realize God's way ahead of us. And the music just blessed my heart this morning. And one of the reasons it blessed my heart is it just went so well with what God has put upon my heart. And I just back up and I say, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. But we start today the Christmas season. Christmas messages. And I want to call your attention to the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 25. And we're going to talk about all I want for Christmas. And I want you to put your I in there, okay? Maybe I can say all we want for Christmas. Luke, chapter 2, verse 25. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for the wonderful day that you have made. Thank you for the time of worship, Lord, and song. And now, Lord, we pray that you'll bless in this time of worship in your word. Open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have prepared for us. Give us clear understanding that, Lord, through your word today, we will be drawn to you and made better servants. I pray for those in this service today who do not know you as their personal Savior. I pray that today will be the day they come to you for salvation. Lord, we give you all the glory and the praise, knowing without you we are nothing. But because of you, Lord, we have a hope eternal in the heavens that will never fade away. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The big question for this time of year always seems to be, what do you want for Christmas? Have you asked everyone that question this year? I mean, all that you're responsible to get gifts for. Have you asked that question this year? What do you want for Christmas? We run around trying to find the right gift for the right people, and that's okay until you find somebody like me. And if you ask me what I want for Christmas, you know what I'm going to tell you? Nothing. And I don't mean to be I don't mean to lack help or, not be helpful. But there's nothing that I want. I feel very blessed. I've got a wonderful wife. I've got wonderful children, a wonderful church family. I'm a child of the King. What else could I need? But that's kind of, you know, what do you want? That's kind of the physical side of it. Today, I want to take a look at the spiritual side. And I want you to realize today that if God were to ask you, the God of the universe were to ask you, what would you like for Christmas? What would you tell him? What would be your response? You know, I mean, imagine, this is the creator of the universe, the one that made man out of the dust of the earth has asked you, what do you want for Christmas? What would you say? Today, I want you to understand, you have the ear of God. The Bible tells us we have not because we ask not. No. You have the ear of God. What are you going to do with that ear? What would you like, spiritually speaking, for Christmas? For me, it's a spiritual longing that I would like. Okay? A greater, a deeper spiritual longing in that I read about Simeon. He was a man who had the promise of God. God had appeared to this man or communicated to this man in some fashion that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. Now you have to understand how big this is. Jews live for the idea, the concept that there was the Messiah coming that was going to deliver them from all their troubles. And God had told Simeon, you will not die until you see this Messiah with your own eyes. And so he lived for it. I mean, he longed for it. The Bible says he was waiting for the coming of the Messiah. That word waiting means looking forward to it. It builds the case or it gives you the idea that he wakes up in the morning and he wakes up with an expectation saying, this might be the day. This could be the day. He lays down at night with the expectation, boy, this could be the day. Tomorrow might be that day. You can just feel the longing in this guy's heart when you read the text that we just read. The desire. If you were to ask him what he wanted, anything more than anything in this world, he would have said, I want to see the Lord's Messiah. And I got to thinking about that. As I thought about that, you know, I have a promise from God. You know what the promise that I have from God says? God has said, in the words of Jesus, John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will, and notice, I will come. I might come. There's a possibility that one of these days I could come. But I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I have just as solid of a promise as Simeon had. Why don't I have that longing? Why am I not living thinking when I rise up in the morning, this could be the day? Why do I not go to bed at night saying, perhaps before I wake in the morning, I'll see the return of Jesus Christ coming for His children. Why don't I walk with such passion? Even in knowing what we know as children of God, you know Jesus is coming back, right? What we often do is we look around at the world and we see the immorality. We see the ungodliness and things seem so bad and we back up and say, oh, it's a sign of the times. Boy, I hope Jesus comes soon. But that's not, and it is bad. I understand that. Man is more sinful than he's ever been. But you know, that's not the reason we should want to see Jesus come back, because everybody around us is sinful. We should want to see Jesus just for the privilege of standing in His presence. Amen. For the privilege of looking at His nail-scarred hands. For the privilege of audibly hearing His voice for the first time. You see, this is the passion that I'm talking about. The passion that Simeon had. Oh, we sung that song a while ago. What a day that will be when my Jesus... Did you sing that? When I look upon His face, the one that saved me by His grace. Do you ever dwell on that? And think that one of these days, Jesus is going to step out of heaven at the command of His Father, say, go get my children, and we're going to hear a voice that says, come up here. And at that trumpet, at that voice, we're going to depart this earth and enter into the presence of Jesus Christ forevermore. That's the longing that we've got to have this Christmas season. Because you know what? Jesus just might come this Christmas. Wouldn't that be an awesome present? Some people look at it and say, oh, you know, I've got things I want to do. I promise you this. If you're a child of God, you don't have to be afraid of the second coming of Jesus Christ. All right? And I've heard, you know, kids say, well, you know, I just got married. I want to have children. Trust me, Jesus coming back would be way better than you having children. Trust me on that one, okay? I mean, that's good. But I want you to see the passion that we should be praying for. Asking God, Lord, put this burning in my heart. This desire to literally cast my eyes on Jesus for the first time. Even so, you know, and I talk about it, I get a little bit like John. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come quickly. We need that spiritual longing. We need that spiritual leading. Notice the effect that God's promise had upon his life. Oh, Simeon, he wasn't just sitting around, you know, saying, Jesus, the Messiah is coming, so I'm going to sit here and twiddle my thumbs and not do anything. He did not. He was, every day, was a day lived for his God. It says that he was just. That word just in the Greek, it literally means to observe God's law. So every day that he rose up, God was important. Every day that he got out of bed, he spent time in communion with God. Prayer, time in God's Word. He was obeying God's laws. It says he was just. He was devout. Meaning he was reverencing God. His whole life was about reverencing and honoring God. Is that what your life is about? Let me tell you, if you really believe Jesus is coming back, you cannot believe that Jesus could return today and live in opposition to God at the same time. You cannot. It's impossible. You can't long for Jesus when you're wrong with Jesus. There are a lot of people who will go through the Christmas motions and miss the blessing. The leadership of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you're not led by the Spirit. You're not seeking the Spirit. You're seeking, what do I got to get everybody for Christmas? What have I got to cook? What have we got to do? We've got to fill in the list. Listen, this Christmas needs to be more than that. Oh, I truly believe that we are living in the end times. I believe that Jesus is coming back. But I believe we can live each day in the joy of the Lord. Serving the Lord. Reverencing the Lord. You see, I could just see in my mind this man living for the coming of the Messiah. Longing for that coming and living each day. Lord, what I do now. What I do next, Lord. Lord, guide me. I want to be right when Jesus comes. Do you ever think about that? Listen, you better not be somewhere that you wouldn't be ashamed of when Jesus comes back. You better not be doing anything that you'd be ashamed of when Jesus comes back. Because He just might come back while you're there. And we shall all stand before God and give account, right? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever been that child or parent? And your kid does something. And you say, get in here. Stand before me. And you ask, why did you do that? And they say, I don't know. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about, right? If you were ever a kid, you know what I'm talking about. Can you imagine one of these days Jesus is going to come back? And soon after that return, soon after that reunion in the air, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give account of the things done in this life, whether good or bad. Listen, I don't want to bow my head when Jesus say, "Why did you do that?" And listen, that's not a beat you over the head judgment type thing. All right? That is the judgment seat of Christ, the bema, where we stand before Jesus Christ and we're rewarded for the things we've done in this flesh. It would break my heart to say, when God said, "Why didn't you, Doug?" If I were to say, "I don't know." Oh, listen. Jesus Christ is coming back. I want to long for Him. I want to live for Him, led by the Spirit. I look here and, you see the love. As this man Simeon, led by the Spirit, enters the temple of God. And he sees Jesus. And you know what he did? It says he took Jesus in his arms. Now, if you're not real careful, you can breeze right over that. Verse 28, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said. And then he talks. But I want you to imagine, here's Simeon being led by the Spirit, living each day for the glory of God. And God says, "Simeon, I want you to go to the temple today. I want you to be in the temple today." And he goes in the temple and he sees, as he goes in, he sees this baby. And God says, "There's your Messiah. There he is, Simeon." And Simeon goes to him and you can just feel it. And he's filled with love and emotion and excitement of what he's lived for. He takes this baby in his arms. And it says he blesses God. "Oh Lord, this is it." Most of us would have walked in there and said, "Well, it's a baby." Beth was talking about this morning. It's a baby. Well, that's pretty good, but he's not a Messiah. But he took him in his arms and he knew who he was. It says he blessed God. I can imagine. I can imagine how he's filled at this point. He's lived his whole life. And in verse 29, I want you to notice, "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." That word depart, it has several meanings. Okay? It means to release a prisoner. He says, "Lord, I've been a prisoner of this longing and this desire ever since you told me." It's like setting him free. He's seen the Messiah. It was used to describe untying a ship and a ship setting for sail. He's now saying, "All right, Lord, I know I've accomplished my purpose on this earth. I'm ready to set sail for eternity." It means to take down a tent. This body is compared to our tabernacle, or is called our tabernacle or our tent, this earth. Can you imagine the joy Simeon was experiencing as he says, "Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation." And it's really cool because he said in verse 32, "A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles." What kind of Jew was this guy? Jews didn't care about the Gentiles. Messiah wasn't for the Gentiles in their mind. But here's a guy, first thing he said, "This is him. This is the Messiah. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles." And the glory of your people Israel. Wow. Man. Do you realize Christmas is not about mangers? Christmas is not about wise men. Christmas is not about shepherds and sheep and all the other stuff, and buying and selling. And Christmas is not about those things. You know what Christmas is about? Christmas is about the Messiah. Amen. Coming to this earth to deliver mankind from sin. I want to ask you the question today. Has your eyes seen the salvation of the Lord? Are you a child of the King? You see, this is the last thought in closing, the spiritual legacy of it all. As children of God, we need this. We need to hang on to this spiritual legacy. And verse 34, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary's mother, "Behold, this child is destined, appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel." That is really a cool statement when you get it. But when you don't get it, you know. What he's talking about, the fall and rising. That word fall, he's talking about something that would be compared to, in other places of the Bible, a stumbling block. You know? A stumbling block. He's talking about rocks, is what he's talking about. Stones. And in Luke chapter 20, verse 17, this is so cool, I'll read it to you. Then he took and he looked at them and said, "What then," this is Jesus speaking, "what then is that that is written? The stone which the builders have rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Whoever falls on this stone will be broken. But whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." You know what? Simeon's seeing baby Jesus here. Before he's worked a miracle, before he's done his miraculous deeds, and he looked and he said, "This child is destined for the fall of many." That word fall, he's talking about what happens when you come face to face with Jesus. There's only two things that can happen. You can fall and be broken because of your sin. And listen, we're living in a world today that does not preach salvation by grace through faith, that does not preach repentance. But I want to tell you what you've got to understand first. You've got to understand that you're a sinner before you can be saved. You got to know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you say, "Brother Doug, but I'm as good as they are." Amen, you sure are. The problem is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good. No, not one. And when you go back and you review the sin, the immorality, the impure thoughts, the wrong deeds, the wrong actions, and you realize, "I'm hopeless." All you can do is fall down and be broken on the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, who is the only one that came to this earth and lived a perfect, sinless life. Why? Because Jesus, the Son of God, did go to the cross of Calvary and die for you. Listen, has somebody ever done something for you? You know, this year, and I want to thank you again, you did Pastor Appreciation. And man, I appreciate what you did. I did. And I know all the church staff did. But when you do something like that, for me, it's very humbling. And it's good. Thank you. I'm glad you did, right? But it's very humbling to realize that, wow, they do care. They love us. And to receive that gift that you gave to me was just awesome. And I know the rest of the staff's the same way. But even more awesome, when you consider what Jesus has done for you. Oh, my friend, you've got to deal. You've got to deal with Jesus. You realize... Well, let's go on. He's destined for the fall, and this is even more exciting, and the
rise of many. You know what that word rise is? Resurrection. What happens when you fall on the chief cornerstone? You're broken. And what happens when Jesus moves in? You become a new creation. A new creation. Ephesians, Paul wrote it like this. He said, "And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sin." Listen, my friend, this is our spiritual legacy. Yes, we fell broken before Almighty God because of our sin condition. But glory to God, He put the pieces back together and gave me new life. In closing, you've got to deal with Jesus. I want us as a church to have a spiritual longing, a spiritual leading, but I want the message of the gospel to be our legacy throughout this Christmas season and for years to come. I want people to know the joy of the Lord. I want people to know who Jesus Christ is through the outreach efforts of this church. Here's the thing. This last line, verse 35, and then I'll hush. The whole verse. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul. He's talking to Mary. He's saying, Mary, I want you to know this is not going to be easy. You're going to travel with your son. You're going to see him abused. You're going to see him rejected. You're going to see him threatened. Oh, but you're going to see this guy hang on a cross. Suffer. Bleed and die for the sin of mankind. Mary, and you know, I can just imagine. Listen, I love my children. The worst thing in the world you can do is hurt one of my children. You know? Can you imagine Mary at the foot of the cross? But the reason that had to happen is that the thoughts of many may be revealed. You know, there are a lot of people who would have claimed to have been religious in that day. A lot of people, Pharisees, man, Sadducees, they were all religious. They all had their religion, and boy, you know, but their true colors came out when they came in contact with Jesus. Okay? Their true colors were revealed. I mean, they saw the miracles. They saw Jesus healing people. And you know what they did? They tried to kill Him because He healed people on the Sabbath. They saw Jesus teach and preach love. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. What did they do? They responded, tried to kill Him. You see, something happens when you come in contact with Jesus. The Spirit begins to work and your heart is revealed. I want you to understand today that Jesus Christ is in our midst. He's here. You've heard about the second coming. You've heard about the salvation. You've heard about what happens during salvation. Now, what are you going to do with it? You've got it. Okay? Right now, your heart's revealed. Are you saved? I mean, have you? I didn't ask you if you were baptized. Have you made a true life commitment to Jesus Christ? If not, right now, you know it. Have you followed the Lord in scriptural baptism? Have you went public like the two young ladies did this morning? You know, and they wanted you to know that they were a child of the King. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, whosoever is ashamed of me, I shall be ashamed of him before my Father in heaven. Baptism is a public declaration. It's saying, I'm glad I'm a child of the King. Maybe you're here and you've kind of fell by the wayside from church, you know? Easy to do. Get out of the habit of going to church. You don't do the things you once did. And distance seems to, once you fall out, it's just hard to get back type thing. Listen. Right now, Jesus Christ is here. He's dealing with your heart. You're coming face to face. And right now, He's revealing what you are. My question is, what are you going to do about it? It's your move. Let's have a Christmas to remember. Let's make Jesus the real reason for the season. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your word that reminds us. Oh, there's some spiritual treasures that we do need this Christmas season. Lord, we do look forward to your return. We do long for your return. Kindle that fire, Lord. Kindle that fire so that every day we walk with you. Spiritual communion and spiritual fellowship. And Lord, help us to continue to preach the legacy that has been passed down from the days of Jesus Christ Himself, the glorious gospel. I pray now that as we come to this invitation, you would freely move among us, that you would convict of sin, that you would expel Satan from this place, that, Lord, you will have free run in this congregation today. Glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand?